He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
To infinity and beyond!
No crying! There's no crying in baseball!
My precious!
Good morning, Vietnam!
Your milkshake!
This is Sparta!
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Welcome to Know Your Cinema.
Welcome back to Know Your Cinema podcast. This is the one and only best podcast of all time for movie reviews, Know Your Cinema. And with me, as always, is the one and only TikTok famous Jason Quinn. And this week, we are reviewing my all-time favorite movie, and that is Top Gun. This is a movie that Jason himself has not seen. So let's jump right into it. Jason, what did you think of Top Gun?
I enjoyed Top Gun. I do feel like it had some wasted potential, in my opinion. I feel like there was a couple of instances where the movie really could have stepped up its game and been a much better film overall. For instance, the one biggest... Actually, there's two big gripes that I have with the film. The two biggest gripes are, I feel like they built up the story with his dad, and then the payoff was just a conversation. Whereas I feel like at the very least, the payoff should have been a flashback with a narration of the conversation. And then I feel like Tom Cruise's reaction, whether that was like just scripted or whatever, his reaction to finding out about his dad just seemed very like, it was like it almost felt like instead of him saying like, hey, your dad saved my life, blah, 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 blah. It was like, he was like, hey, I really like cream cheese on my bagels. And he's like, oh, okay. You know?
Well, let me kind of step in here and break that down for you real quick. There's an earlier conversation with the character, Charlie, played by Kelly McGillis, where he talks about how he doesn't believe that. He says that his dad was a great fighter pilot because the quote, government details of the incident basically say that his father was on the wrong side of war boundaries, so to speak, you know, and so they had to classify that as, you know, a bad mission, so to speak. So that's why his mom got the, you know, the whole news of his father, and it's kind of hinted to that in the storyline. I think that the reaction is perfect because his whole belief system was that his father was a hero. And so hearing the truth was not something that shocked him. It wasn't like, you know, he had this disbelief in his father. He always felt like his father was a hero. So to hear Viper tell that story to him was just gratification. The real big thing of that is that Pete Mitchell had been basically chasing that, has been chasing that ghost. It's kind of lingered over him that he was, you know, Duke Mitchell's kid, and that he, you know, he's trying to live up to those expectations and be, and not be his father. Like, everybody thinks that he was just some, you know, pilot that went rogue or whatever, however they kind of try to illustrate that. So I think that scene, while not necessarily moving and gut-wrenching in that way that it should be, I think that it illustrates a good point to the whole story of how, you know, Pete kind of felt after, you know, especially after Goose's death, that he was just kind of lost, and he just wanted that gratification, and he really didn't know how to take Viper, and he didn't know how to really take the other pilots at Top Gun, and he was kind of just always like living on the edge, so to speak. So I think that while that is is a great point in how it was filmed and how it was acted and portrayed. I think that if you look at the hindsight of it, that's how it is.
To me, I think the rule of thumb when it comes to filmmaking is show me, don't tell me, you know, and I feel like they could have at the very least, you know, if they're not going to give me the big payoff in terms of like how his Viper's whole reaction and all that stuff, or Maverick's reaction to what Viper says, at least give me the full on explanation of like, here, you know, like show me what's going on. I think that would have really amped up the movie in terms of you know, value as a film. The other things that I had an issue with was when Goose died. While I personally don't necessarily know that it was necessary to kill Goose off, but I understand what they were doing. When Goose died, I feel like the reactions that I got out of all of the characters that were close to Goose were not anywhere near as strong as they needed to be. Like Tom Cruise felt like he barely reacted, and that's fine. Like maybe he just kind of goes in stoic and he's just kind of lost, like you said. But Meg Ryan's character really should have given me a bigger reaction, because when I watched Goose and Meg Ryan's character on screen, I was like, wow, what a fucking relationship. Like it was one of the most intensely loving relationships. And it was kind of like, it is almost a relationship that you could be envious of, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me to see that relationship and for that payoff of his death to just be her being like, he loves flying with you, and with like some tears in her eyes, like barely, I feel like she should have fucking collapsed into his arms and said some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like it should have been a big fucking situation, not just a, you know, he really liked flying with you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from on that. I do. I don't know how you could pay that scene off with someone sobbing so heavily to act through that. I also think because the child was in the room, maybe it was kind of illustrating the point of like, not to show, you know, why is mommy sad kind of thing. I mean, you can sit here and pick straws all you want throughout that. It is an interesting scene to watch because of Maverick basically just going and picking up Goose's stuff and putting it in a box and having to take it to his widow and, you know, have that, that type of emotion. Unfortunately, this is the first time that I've actually viewed the Goose's death since Matt passed away. And, it had a different effect on me than it has in the 2000 other times that I've watched this movie. Because I understood Tom Cruise's pain a little bit more this time than I had in previous viewings of this film. And how to say goodbye to your friend kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of adjustment and shock and confusion. And when you lose someone that's that close to you, it's so hard, because think about it in terms like this. Meg Ryan had to, you know, she has to fly in to see her husband, and he's not there all the time. He's on an aircraft carrier, so he's out to sea a lot. But you're with your pilot like every day, you know, you spend a lot of time with them and they become family. And it's even illustrated in a very deep conversation Goose and Maverick have, that Maverick says, you're the only family that I got.
Right.
So like losing that, he's he's just kind of lost now. What does he do now? He came out here to prove himself, and he ended up costing his brother basically his life because of an arrogant move he made inside of a jet fighter.
So was it an arrogant move though? Because that was one of the things that I was confused about. I'm again, this is the first time viewing. So the way I interpreted it at first and the way Skylin interpreted it when she watched it, it felt as almost as if Val Kilmer was a little bit at fault there.
Okay, so you have to put two and two scenes together. There's a scene in the beginning, the first hop they ever take, or the second hop they ever take when they fight in Viper and Jester. And he gets on Hollywood's wing. He's on, you know, he's Hollywood's wingman, and he's behind him, and he takes off and he goes after Viper and ends up getting, you know, quote, killed. And then Val Kilmer, yes, makes the dick move by cutting him off, but he now has to stay in. He has to, because he's trying to learn this lesson about being the wingman, right? Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get in there. He's trying, you know, he's trying to tell, you know, Iceman, take the shot, get in there. He's, you know, he's getting impatient. He's just riding his ass basically. He's just trying to get in there. So the arrogant move is just Maverick always being like the hot shot. I'm not saying it was arrogant in a sense of like he did what Val Kilmer did. I'm saying it was just like he wants to be the best, and he wants to stick it up basically Iceman's ass and just like, fuck you. I'm better than you. I know I'm better than you. But you've been the best here so far. So he vows like he won't take the shot for some reason. He can't get the shot. He can't take the shot, whatever. And he basically bails out. When he bails out, they fly into that jet wash, and that's what causes the stall of the engine. See, he was doing the right thing, but he was very impatient with Iceman. He was riding him a little hard there, and when that spin out happened. I think it was just a combination of his arrogance, but also him wanting to do the right thing that kind of cost him. And I think it haunted him a little bit. And it shows at the end, like when he keeps saying it, like he's not going to make this mistake again. He's going to stay with his wingman. But continue. Go ahead.
The only other real problem that I had with the film was, I mean, this could just be my own personal feelings on it.
Sure.
But I felt wrong about him keeping Goose's dog tags in the first place. But then I was like, okay, well, he's got the dog tags. That's fine. You know, he's holding on to him, you know, because he's taking him with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and that made sense to me,
sure.
You know, when he's in the air, I'm like, okay, he's taking him with him because that's his wingman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then when he threw him into the ocean, that was, I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, I was like, first off, those go to his wife and child before they go to you, period. Right. And then for you to throw them in the goddamn ocean without even consulting his wife and child, I was like, that's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I understand the symbolism of it. You know, the Navy, kind of the burial at sea kind of thing. I understand the symbolism of it.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, unless that was like a spare pair of dog tags, because typically when airmen, you know, are out flying, or anybody's wearing, they're usually wearing their dog tags. So, I mean, it's all up to interpretation at that point. I can't really go into detail about that. I've never been in the military, so I can't really speak on that. But yeah, it does feel like a dick move. I have, my biggest problem with the movie that I've ever had was the end when they graduate and they all get their orders. And Viper says, give me a call, I'll fly with you. Now, why could I not get Viper and Maverick in the same cockpit? We had to get Merlin. I really wanted Tom Skerritt and Maverick, and I wanted, if you put Tom Skerritt in that same scene, same dialogue, it comes out differently than Tim Robbins yelling at Maverick to get back in the fight. and him thinking about Goose and what Goose would tell him to do.
Yeah, that would have definitely made it much better. Because, I mean, honestly, Tim Robbins was barely in this fucking movie.
Beginning and end.
Like, he has barely, I mean, he's almost a non-consequential character, in my opinion.
He is. So, it's a bit part. It really is a bit part for him.
But for him to be, I mean, you don't get me wrong, I like Tim Robbins and stuff, but like, for him to be taking Goose's place,
right,
so to speak, that felt, I mean, it was cheap.
Well, it was like kind of like a, I think they, what they were going for is like a full circle thing. Like, Cougar quit, gave up his wings. So Merlin didn't have a pilot, and Maverick didn't have a Rio, which is a radio intercept officer, or radar intercept officer, excuse me. So it's kind of a full, I get what they were going for, but I would much rather, and that's always been my biggest problem with this movie. Like, why did we not get that Viper and Maverick payoff at the end of this movie?
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't in that dogfight, even if it was like something showing them together mm-hmm. at the school, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? When he finally comes back to Top Gun, you know what I mean?
What I'm hoping for is because Skerritt's still alive and we got Top Gun 2, I'm hoping we get some of that in the second movie.
I know this is going to come out as blasphemous, but I personally think that we have the potential to get a better movie for the sequel than what we got in this one, in my personal opinion. And I think the reason being is what I noticed watching this movie is Tom Cruise has improved immensely. Also, technology's improved immensely, which is kind of cool, but Tom Cruise flying fighter jets himself and shit, because that's what he's going to be doing in Maverick. Like, we're going to get really fucking cool practical effects out of what's going to be happening in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, what I hope is that they don't CGI the shit out of this movie, because what I love about this movie itself is that the Navy and Top Gun, all, you know, they allowed the filming using the real fighter jets and the real ship and stuff like that. It has that very organic feel to it. I love that about this movie, is that there isn't a lot of CGI in this movie. Even the planes that exploded were prop planes. Like, it looks so good, like, you wouldn't be able to tell until you'd watch some of, like, the behind the scenes stuff. That's what I'm hoping, that we don't, you know, we still keep that very organic feel to it in the next film, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't want it to make me not like the franchise. Like, I don't want it to ruin one for me. I want it to be good, and I want it to live up to the hype. I just don't want it to ruin one for me, because I love one so much, and I was hoping that two would eventually come out, and I was hoping that it's exactly what the storyline I think is going to be. I haven't read a lot of it, because I'm trying to keep myself away from reading any of the spoilers of the storyline, just so I can go into it, like, you know, in shock and awe. So
yeah, like, very fresh.
Yeah, very, very, very fresh. But the storyline I always thought that they should have done for two is, you know, hotshot pilots come into Top Gun, and now Tom Cruise is in the Viper role. He's the guy that is, you know, okay, you guys think you're good, cool, I'm gonna show you. And it kind of, when in the preview, you kind of get that feel to it. You're like, yeah, he's that Viper role now. So I am looking forward to two. But tell us some more about your thoughts of this movie. I could talk about this movie for forever. I love it so much.
I mean, I felt like the relationship between him and then that the girl that's in there, Maverick,
Kelly McGillis,
in there. Yeah, I felt like it was all right. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it felt, you know, okay. It wasn't like over the top, amazingly satisfying or anything like that. But like, it didn't feel tacked on, at least, which was nice.
Right.
It
felt like a fling.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, nice little thing. I really wish that we would have gotten more of the Goose and Meg Ryan relationship, because it was so good. It was, they had such a chemistry, and it was really like heartwarming to watch. And it was cool. And it was like something that you're like, man, that's a fucking good relationship to see play out.
Well, that's what makes Goose's death hard for a lot of people, even like watching the movie. Like the Goose character is very essential to this movie, but if you think about it, he doesn't have a huge part, like as far as scenes go in the movie, but you really fall in love with the character so fast. Mm-hmm. Like he feels like a guy you could sit down and have a beer with. And he's the complete opposite of the Tom Cruise character in this movie. Like he's very loose and jovial and joking and having a good time. And you feel like you could hang out with that dude. Whereas Pete Mitchell feels like he's very just tight and wound up. And like, you just can't, like you wouldn't want to hang around that guy, but he kind of is like compliments him in a way that's it's very good to watch that interaction. And then you get the extra dynamic of seeing Goose as a family man, mm-hmm. as a husband. You see him as a dad, and then you get to see him as a husband. And you get to see that great scene in the diner or the bar where they're singing, and it's like the last hurrah of everybody around, and you know, having a really good time, and how it illustrates like the good times. And then the next scene is literally when Goose dies, and that's like tragedy. It's like it's a very unique way of building a character when we didn't even have that much interaction with Meg Ryan and Goose. You were drawn to that dynamic of two characters, because I mean Meg Ryan doesn't have a big part in this movie, maybe two, three scenes at tops,
right?
But you immediately are like, I love these characters.
Yeah No, it's they did a really good job with that, and they built the relationship right in front of us super quick, but it was really satisfying. It was a relationship that you didn't want to see end. So yeah, they did a great job in that terms.
And I don't want to call them throwaway characters. If Meg Ryan is kind of a throwaway character, but she's very essential to illustrating a side of Goose. We don't know a lot about Goose until his family shows up, and we see that he's like a family man. He's got a son, but in reality, there's, like I said, two or three scenes with Meg Ryan, like, and then it's done. And then we don't have any more scenes with Goose or Meg Ryan. So he's completely out of the picture.
Yeah.
But telling a story, it's essential to show that, because we at the beginning, the story's not about Goose, but we have to have that to build a character. And it also shows a relationship between Maverick and Goose's wife, because she's, you know, she says she loves him. She's like, he's like a brother to me. You know, she knows, she's been around him so long. Like, this is how it feels, you know, when I'm around Maverick. I just love him to death is what she says, is the actual terms. So it illustrates a lot of points just in that one scene. It's so good to see something like that, because in a lot of movies you get those throwaway characters and you don't have that kind of feeling. You're just kind of like, oh, it was a throwaway scene or a throwaway character. They weren't really essential to the story. They were essential to the story.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, all in all, I mean, it's a good movie. It's something that I could see myself, you know, if I'm scrolling through channels or whatever and it's on, I could definitely see myself stopping and watching it. Because it's not something, it's a movie that you can rewatch. It's got a lot of rewatchability. So I can't quite understand how you can watch it 2,000 times, but that's, you know, that's your prerogative. But I can understand watching it several times.
From 1986 until 1992, I might have watched that movie every day of my life. There's two things I want to be in this world: pro wrestler or a Navy pilot or Air Force pilot. That's all I ever wanted to do with my life. And I actually went through like two tapes. My mom had to buy a new tape for me because I'd watched it so much. And I'm aging myself by saying tapes.
We did that with the tape as well. It was The Mask.
Yeah, see? So you know. So you, well, you know. You understand the love of this movie. And it, and the thing was, is like, it's such an adult movie. Like, a 3-year-old should not be watching this movie, but I was so infatuated with Top Gun. Like, everything. Top Gun. I even had one of the bomber jackets that they had with a Top Gun. Yes. I had a Tomcat patch on it. Like, I was obsessed with Top Gun. And I don't know why. I mean, it just appealed to me. Like, like I said, when you messaged me the other day and you know, saying you were watching it, like, I started geeking out. I was like, all right, now I got to watch it. I'm itching. And then I started to regret it because I'm like, fuck, this goose scene's coming up and I'm going to fucking lose my shit.
The volleyball scene sure felt, it was like, I've seen volleyball scenes where, you know, it's supposed to, you know, like in like Baywatch and shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, this is like a sexy Baywatch volleyball scene. But it was like, it was very erotic. It was like the most erotic four dudes playing volleyball scene I've ever seen in my life. It was.
You had to give the girls that came with their boyfriends to watch that something to look at there.
I mean, they gave it all to him in that fucking little 2 minutes.
It also shows that everything's a competition.
Right. I mean, it's
always a rivalry.
Fucking volleyball. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense if they were playing like horseshoes. They had to find something kind of in between. They couldn't play softball. Basketball would have been a better option there.
Yeah, I mean, probably. But I don't know. It was the
song that's playing there does not help the whole.
Right.
It's a very Beach Boys-esque, fun-loving, fun-in-the-sun kind of song.
I was like, this is the most, like I had to double-check on Skyline. I'm like, is she into this? Like, is this what I missed? Do I need to get out and oil up myself and play some beach volleyball? Is that what's going to do it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Second time I ever got my mouth washed out with soap was for saying, Mother Goo, you pussy. Didn't know what the word was, just heard it and said it and was quoting the movie, and my mom proceeded to wash my mouth out with soap. First one was Beetlejuice. That's in an old episode. Wow. I explained that in detail.
In the Beetlejuice episode, which would have been probably first 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's back there. But yeah, I don't know. I watch this movie and I get nostalgic. And I think about all the time sitting in my mom's living room on watching this on a floor model Zenith that was older than I was. And just, I don't know, watching it every day. I remember just sitting in like the living room on hot summer days, just watching this movie. I have, you know, great memories of this. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I'm literally saying the lines before they're being said. Movie has a special place in my heart. I love how it's filmed. I love the soundtrack. I love the grittiness of the movie. The acting is good. I'm not going to say great because there are some parts of this movie where you're like, maybe. It just, like I said, it's a guy's movie. It's got a little bit of everything, a little triumph, a little tragedy, great story. It hits all the buckets for me as someone who loves film. Again, I'm being very, very unbiased in my love for this movie. I'm not gonna say that there isn't parts where I was like, you know, I would have changed this. This would happen. Like I said, my biggest quorum that I've always had with the movie is like, when I was a kid, why didn't Viper, you know, why didn't he join up with Maverick on the ship? You know, he said he would do it if he wanted him to. Did Maverick not really want him to do it? Right. Like, I never got that answer. So I was always like, oh man, it would have been so cool. Like, Viper's in the back with him and he's, because to me, Viper is a badass. I don't care. Like just nonchalantly a badass too. Just gets up in the air and just like, okay, you want to learn how to fly, kid? Come on, follow me.
Yeah, he definitely has this aura about him.
Swagger.
Yeah.
Swagger.
There's definitely a very it's interesting because in all reality, it's just a dude sitting in a chair that you really see. I mean, you see him, you know, you see the plane flying, mm-hmm. but like in all reality, most of what you see is him either sitting in the cockpit, like the seat in the cockpit, or just walking around the fucking halls of the Top Gun Academy or right. whatever. But like there's definitely a respect that's commanded in the performance. He does a really good job of commanding that respect, and not just in his title, but in the way he upholds himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always felt that about the Viper character. And it was like seeing Tom Skerritt, like that's the first thing I ever remember him in. And I was like, oh, every time I seen him, I was like, oh, it's Viper. I'm like, oh, they got Viper to play in this role, because that's how I remember him in my head. And yeah, he just like, I remember like almost wanting him, like feeling like he was a villain at first when I was a kid. And I'm like, no, he's trying to help him. He's really trying to help him. And that's the thing with this movie. Like, it takes me back to like a child's mentality where I'm watching this as a kid. And I'm like, okay, this is now these scenes are different, funny in a different way for me. And then, you know, when he's that first hop they have with Viper, and they're like, holy shit, it's Viper. Oh, Viper's up here, great. Holy shit. Yeah, but he's saying, holy shit, it's Maverick and Goose. Right. Like, this is like that, like when you're a kid, you don't get what the sarcasm in that. And then Viper's like literally like just running circles around them, and because they've been doing it for years, you know, training these pilots at Top Gun, and they're just like, he's like, all right. And literally, if you watch some of that scene where like he's trying to get a lock on him, like Viper's literally just going around the lock, like the targeting system, like he's just flying around the circle, like, I know what you're trying to do, kid, it ain't gonna work. Like, I've done this a thousand times. There's always somebody like you. So, but I always, like I said, when I think about the character, like when he's first introduced, you're like, oh, he's an asshole, he's a heel. And then like you realize that he's really trying to help Maverick. And then there's that scene where he tells Maverick about his dad. And I think he's trying to give him some peace to that whole puzzle that he's been trying to put together for his entire life, and chasing that ghost of his father.
I respect that.
But anything else you'd like to say about Top Gun before we get into some favorites here?
No, man, I'm good.
All right. Well, let's talk about your favorite scene.
My favorite scene is easily the diner scene.
Okay.
I think that whole interaction with everybody, that like last hurrah as you described it, I think it's, you know, I mean, like you said, it's very much like a man's movie. It's you know, action and all that stuff. But like, I feel like that scene is one of the scenes in this movie that adds depth to the characters. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. I think it gave the movie much more substance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great scene. It's hard for me to pick just a favorite scene. But I sat there and was watching it, and I narrowed it down. So it is that scene with Viper and Jester and Hollywood Wolfman and Maverick and Goose. And it's basically it's knocking you down a peg scene. It's you know, I'm cocky and I'm good and I really want to take the best out. And then Viper basically unknowingly wipes the floor with him, because he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to listen and he doesn't want to abide by the rules and he wants to go off on his own. He wants to be a maverick, so to speak. Pardon the pun. But I love that scene because it's the end and it goes right into my favorite quote, because the end of the scene, he gets basically killed. He gets locked on by Jester. And then Goose goes, Defense Department arrests inform you your sons are dead because they were stupid. and then it's the next scene, but it's kind of pivotal where Tom Cruise is leaned up against the pole and Goose is sitting down and Jester walks in all his gear and he basically tells him, he's like, that's the best, some of the best flying I've ever seen. He's like, but you never leave your wingman. And he's like, tells him, and he's like, he doesn't say anything. It's just a very like, almost like a dad telling a kid, like, you're good, but you fucked up.
Right.
Well, so he's kind of computing all that. So I really love that scene because it's such a, like a humbling moment for the character of Maverick. But yeah, I already said my favorite saying, so.
My favorite quote is actually, coincidentally, the end of the diner scene where she says, take me to bed or lose me forever.
Well, that was like, show me the way home, honey.
I was like, that is all I ever wanted to hear.
I don't know why Goose didn't just stop playing. Like the music should have stopped. He should have been like, all right, Mav, you got this.
I mean, in that moment, I realized that that's the only thing that I've ever wanted to hear in my life.
Oh. Skyland's like, just stop eating chicken and come to bed.
Right. Yeah. Put the burrito down.
There are some super quotable lines in this movie. And I mean, I can know this movie line for line. I could go through a ton of them. I love the one where he's like, yeah, I bet he's saying, holy shit, it's Maverick and Goose. Yeah, sure, he's saying that. Like, that's a great line. When their admiral's like, when they're on the ship at the beginning, he's like, if you screw up just this much, and he's got the cigar in his hand, he's like, you'll be flying a rubber or a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Like, he just like illustrated that. Like, just okay. Like, that's a lot of symbolism there, Admiral. I appreciate that. Now let's go into favorite performances.
I'm not sure who plays him, but I honestly think my favorite performance was Goose.
It's Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, then. That's who I'm going with.
Goose is my favorite character in this movie. I love the character. Performance-wise, it's hard because Val Kilmer's really good in this movie as a cocky asshole, but I don't want to just say it's Val Kilmer, because I think Val Kilmer's portrayal in Tombstone is way better than this.
I think I judged his performance in this movie against his performance in that, and I'm like, he could have done a lot better. Like, I've seen you act way better than what you acted.
So if you noticed in the beginning when we're introduced to his character, Val Kilmer's twirling a pen in his hand. It's the same shot that's in Tombstone when we're introduced to Doc Holliday. He's twirling the coin in his hand. Mm-hmm. That's like a trademark for Val Kilmer. But it's almost the same how the camera pans up the hand to the face. It's just almost the same exact shot. I love the character that Val Kilmer plays in this movie. I love the character of Goose. It's hard for me just to pick an acting performance that was great. It's really hard for me to do that. And I honestly, because I just can't do it. I can't pick a great performance in this movie. This is going to be a first on Know Your Cinema. I cannot pick a number one. I cannot pick a great performance. I thought about it. I sat and thought about it. I'm like, I'm going to struggle with this. Because I love Anthony Edwards' performance as Goose. I think Tom Cruise this is the movie that really made him a star. I think Tom Skerritt does a phenomenal job. I think even Michael Ironside as Jester, the small parts that he had, did a phenomenal job. It's hard for me, Val Kilmer, it's hard for me just to pick a performance. It really is. I don't have a favorite performance for this movie. Everybody in this movie did a, it just, no one, the thing about this movie is like, no one just overshadowed another person, like an acting performance. If you think about it, like, I don't know how you viewed it and how you looked at it, but everybody kind of seemed on the same level keel as far as characters go. And I get that Tom Cruise is like the main guy, and we're all kind of focused on him, but his character, Pete Mitchell, is very kind of like, I don't want to say vanilla, but he's very kind of just kind of like plain. He has outbursts of emotions and he gets hot-headed from time to time, but I don't really, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah. Rating, sir.
This is going to shock some people because I've maintained that I'm fair. This is my favorite movie, but I'm going to be fair with this rating. This movie is going to get a 9.5. It is not a full 10. It's because Viper not being in that co-pilot's cockpit with Maverick still irks me to this day. Why add that line in there if we're not going to get that payoff? If we're not going to get the next scene when he gets his orders and he says they don't have a Rio for you and he calls Viper and Viper shows up. I don't know why we don't get that. And that, it's always irked me from probably the second or third time I watched this movie. I'm like, well, why is he there? Yeah. So it is a 9.5. And it hurts me to not give this movie a 10.
So I would have normally given this movie a 7 based on the way that I felt about this movie.
Sure.
But like I said, when I was watching the movie, the fact that they open up with the Danger Zone, gives this movie a solid bump up, in my opinion, because that jam is one of the sweetest jams of all time.
I have to give a shout out to my mom real quick, because my mom, her favorite part of this whole movie, for some reason, is in the beginning when they're all flying those planes off the deck and the one guy just kind of kicks his leg up. I don't know why she loves that part, but she loves to point that out when she's watched this movie with me. She's like, oh, I love this part. And I'm like, okay. Do you not watch the movie, Mom? That's a guy on a deck just kicking his leg up like he's kicking a field goal.
Very, very plain Jane part.
Yeah, I love my mom to death, but I'm like, all right, I don't go to my mom for movie advice unless it's like John Wayne movies. Then we might have to have my mom on as a guest. But I had to give my mom a shout out. She's the one who introduced me to this movie, so I got to give her some love.
Fair enough.
She also introduced me to Star Wars.
I mean,
my mom is responsible for a lot of my movie viewing as a kid.
My dad introduced me to Star Wars, and it has filled me with a lifetime of joy and heartbreak.
Yeah, very much so. The love of Star Wars is a roller coaster ride.
It is.
Very much so. It's very much.
It's
so.
it's like loving a football, like a sports team. It's that. That's how I feel about Star Wars. Like, it's like you get some fucking good seasons and you're just on top of the world. I mean, it's not like loving the Browns, you know what I mean? Like, it could be worse, you know what I mean? But like, it's like,
well, no, it is like loving the Browns, because we're loyal. No matter how much they shit on us, we keep coming back.
That's true, but at the same time, like,
as Jason's a Steelers fan, for the record, anybody out there, there's a whole reason why he's not agreeing with me on this one.
Right. I mean, that's fair.
That's loyal to the Steelers. That's loyalty to the Steelers. He would not compare anything to the Browns.
I mean, the Browns are just, you know.
Hey, I'm not a Browns fan. My dad was. They had a good season last year. They had a couple, like the last couple years, they had good seasons. You know? Good for them. The fans deserve it. I'm all like, yeah, let the Browns win. The fan, they
oh man,
that fan base deserves a good time.
They went to the playoffs this past year, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, I honestly, I thought I remember that, but I was pulling for them. I was like, man, I hope they fucking take it. Yeah. I hope they out of nowhere just crush it, and then it's them in the Super Bowl, and they win it all.
Yeah, my team wasn't in it, so I had to pick somebody. I'm like, well, just for dad, to hell with it. And I'm an Ohio boy, so like, you know, fuck it, right? But anyways, I stopped you in the middle of your rating. Please continue.
But anyway, I was going to give it a 7.
Okay. Danger Zone bumped it up immediately.
Danger Zone bumped it up immediately and keeps it there. So I'm going to give it an 8.
What about the whole soundtrack?
The whole soundtrack is good. Mm-hmm. But so Danger Zone, I've always loved this song since I was a little kid. Okay.
Yeah.
It was on a Alvin and the Chipmunks movie that I had when I was really young.
Okay.
And so I used to watch that shit constantly.
Okay.
And it was my fucking jam on there. Right. Okay. And so it is, that song has a very special place in my heart.
Sure.
And so, and I also like Archer a lot too, so they do a whole good bunch of references in Archer to get Danger Zone.
Oh, there's all kinds of Top Gun references in Danger.
Yeah. Absolutely. But that song, like you said, this movie has a special place in your heart. The song in particular has a special place in mine.
Well, it lulls you into a false sense of security because it starts off with that real slow, like, and then it goes into like the real classic Top Gun, and then it's like, yeah, it goes right into the Kenny Loggins, who was the master of soundtracks in the 80s, for the record. Footloose, Top Gun.
Fire. I've never seen Footloose.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Never seen Footloose. Okay.
I know. It's the cardinal sin.
It's not a cardinal sin. I'm just, you know, I understand your theory behind why you don't watch movies pre the year you were born. I understand that.
I don't. It's not a rule of thumb for me. It's Jordan's rule that he won't do it. It's not a rule of thumb to me, but it's not something that I've just gone out of my way to watch movies that were, you know, not around.
I think that you're missing out on some very terrible, terrible movies and some very, very good movies.
I mean, like, I'll go back, you know, I mean, I've gone back and watched them.
We haven't even watched Howard the Duck yet.
Oh, well, you know, interestingly enough, I think we'll get to that when we get there. But I think that there's reason enough to watch Howard the Duck.
Well, yeah, it's the first Marvel movie ever made.
I think there's at least justification reasons to watch it when we're caught up.
And it was a George Lucas movie.
That makes no sense to me. George Lucas is nuts.
Like, and Tim Robbins is in it.
I mean, shit.
I'm selling you on it.
I mean, I was sold on Howard the Duck as just like, I love the concept of Howard the Duck because it's just like, it's the most comic book movie you could possibly make.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. It's the kind of shit that you would only see in comic book pages.
This Howard the Duck is pretty campy and cheesy,
and I love that.
Yeah. And I love the movie. I've loved the movie since I was a kid, and it's very, very good and very, very bad all at the same time. And I didn't read any of the comics, so I don't have any justification on that. But all I know is when I watched it when I was a kid, I was like, this is awesome. And then when I watched it as an adult, I went out and bought the DVD. I was like perusing the DVD section one day, and I was like, there's Howard the Duck, and that's going home with me.
I respect it. I'm not upset about it at all.
Plus, I have a little bit of a crush on Leah Thompson. Yeah. Just a smidgen of crush on her. But
fair enough.
Are you ready to move on to segment two?
I am ready to move on to segment two.
Awesome. Folks, that is our review of Top Gun. Please stay with us for segment two, the Get to Know Your Cinema section of our podcast, right after these messages from us here at Know Your Cinema and Anchor. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening and supporting Know Your Cinema podcast. If you like what you hear in this episode, please check out our vast library of over 60 episodes covering a wide variety of films from comedy, action, horror, and everything in between. You can listen to the show on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcast. Also check out our social media platforms for fan polls and interaction with all the hosts of Know Your Cinema Podcast. Give us a like at Facebook at Know Your Cinema Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at KYC Podcast. And now, without any further ado, back to the show.
Hello, and welcome back to Know Your Cinema's second segment of our fantastic podcast. This is the Get to Know Your Cinema segment, where today we are going to be playing Vaguely Name That Movie. This is where one of us vaguely describes a movie, and the other one attempts to name that movie that was just previously vaguely described. Devlin, are you ready to vaguely name that movie, sir?
I am.
Do you have a movie, sir?
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Fat Ninja.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
All right, well, there you go. We're off to a rocket start here. This is a dead ninja.
That would have been very dark. Let's think about it. A man plays God.
Bruce Almighty?
It is Bruce Almighty.
If you should have said something like Ace Ventura plays God.
Ace Ventura is holier than thou.
I'm just saying. Okay, you could have said Fire Marshal Bill plays God.
I could have. You're right. Okay. Dev, you got a second, a follow-up, if you will, a sequel.
A sequel. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a sequel, but you know.
Let's see. This is a hard one. Trying to describe it in a comedic way. A group of misfits steal a map to save their town.
The Goonies?
Yes, it is the Goonies.
Okay. Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Plays in the sewer.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Plays in the sewer.
Plays in a sewer?
In a sewer.
In a sewer. Am I trying to say this like I'm from Boston? Like a sewer?
It doesn't have... Yeah, a sewer. Yeah.
Plays in a sewer or...
Yeah, he's in a sewer in the movie.
He's in a sewer in the movie. It's interesting. I'm not sure if I've ever seen this movie. You're going to have to help me with the vagueness here.
It's got some Mini Coopers.
Oh, the Italian Job.
Man.
Wesley Snipes breaks out of prison and Sandra Bullock has virtual sex.
I'm pretty sure I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen this movie?
I don't think so.
This is why we do this here on Know Your Cinema Podcast, because we find out movies that each other haven't seen.
I'm sitting here thinking, and I got nothing.
You've got nothing.
I got nothing.
It is Demolition Man.
Yep, never seen.
That's a shame. We're gonna have to rectify that.
Okay, the best Batman is blind.
The best Batman is blind. Daredevil?
It is there.
I had to you threw me off by actually saying that Ben Affleck was the best Batman, but I had to think about it from Jason's perspective. Jason loves Batfleck. So then I had to think about
that was America.
What was he blind in? And then I was like, oh yeah, that shitty Daredevil movie.
Yeah, he was super shitty. That's a super shitty movie.
Okay. Let's see here. This movie is a hand jiving good time.
How about a hand job, baby?
Said hand jive, not hand job.
Grease.
Yes, I was gonna quote my favorite line from that movie just to see if you would get it.
Man who the audience is unsure of his sexual orientation searches for something he lost. Or that was stolen from him, rather, actually. Also zombies. What kind of zombies? And Keira Knightley.
And zombies?
I mean, maybe they're like skeletons or whatever, but like they're kind of zombies.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Threw me off there for a second. I was like,
I know I had you on the ropes on that one.
You did. You did have me on the ropes on that one. famous comedian dresses up in a fat suit to portray a grandmother.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
No.
Big Mama's House.
Yes.
Thought to be dead girl seeks revenge.
Jennifer's body?
No.
I spit on your grave?
No.
Thought to be dead girl seeks revenge.
You're probably going to kick yourself in.
Probably. Thought to be dead girl seeks revenge. I don't know. There's so many possibilities here.
Kill Bill.
Oh, okay. I am going to kick myself.
I'm like, I know you fucking like this movie.
Yes. Let's see here.
How many more you want to do?
Let's do two more piece. Let's see here. A very lackluster Top Gun ripoff.
Lackluster Top Gun ripoff.
It's probably a movie you've never seen before.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Iron Eagle.
Yeah. That shit. Tom Cruise is Japanese.
Last Samurai. Oh.
But somehow he's Japanese, and people are like, well, all right.
Robert Downey Jr.'s second best performance.
Is that all you're giving me?
That's all I'm giving you.
Just Robert Downey Jr.'s second best performance.
Yes, because you know, we all know Tony Stark's is his best performance. But what would be his second best performance?
Probably a movie I've never seen.
No, you've seen this movie.
Oh, Tropic Thunder. Yeah, no, that's definitely that's a second.
Where we go, I think we're going Tom Cruise theme there for a second, and I was like, okay, I was gonna say Tom Cruise in a fat suit, but I was like, it's too much of a dead giveaway. Let me just give him something super vague.
Yeah. Friends stop at a highway museum attraction ran by a clown.
House of a Thousand Corpses?
House of a Thousand Corpses. I'm also kind of a huge mark for fucking Rob Zombie movies.
I haven't seen House of a Thousand Corpses in a while. I saw a preview for it on something I was watching, like on a DVD, and I was like, I haven't watched that in a while. I need to go back and watch it, because I remember watching it and was like kind of disappointed in it, but I need to go back and revisit it.
The Devil's Rejects is much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Three from Hell is pretty good too.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's pretty good. but yeah, I haven't watched House of Thousand Corpses in a while. Well, folks, that is the second segment of our Know Your Cinema podcast, the Get to Know Your Cinema section. This week for our bonus episode, Jason, what do we have on the docket for the bonus episode?
We'll be watching Guardians of the Galaxy on Thursday.
Very good. And Jason, do you have the wheel ready?
The wheel. I do. It's right here.
Okay.
Do you have your movie selected?
I do.
Okay.
I am, since it was just revealed that you have not seen this movie, I am going to put Demolition Man on the wheel for you.
Okay, I was expecting Footloose, but I'll take Demolition.
Now, Footloose is a it's a semi-serious film, so I'm trying to keep one of almost every genre on your wheel.
Got you.
Because it comes off, so like if JFK comes off, you might get Footloose.
Okay.
Trying to keep one of every genre on there for you. It makes it a little bit more.
I do know the storyline of Footloose. It is a very highly referenced storyline in other films.
Yes. It has probably been 30 years since I've watched Footloose, but I remember watching it. My mom loves that movie. So I've watched it. I don't remember liking it, but I remember it being a good movie. I don't think it was something I was into dancing and whatnot. So
I mean, I definitely want to cut loose at some time. You know what I mean?
You gotta cut loose.
I really just want to kick off my Sunday shoes, you know. But
are you shaking your knees?
Definitely. I mean, that's really where I feel like I need to be.
Okay.
All
right.
So we'll get there.
Jason, do the honors and tell the wonderful audience what films are on the wheel for both of us.
The films that are on the wheel that I have not seen are Smokey and the Bandit, JFK, Machete Kills, Demolition Man, and Phantasm 2. The films that are on the wheel that Devlin has not seen are Moana, Trolls, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Aquaman, and Sharknado. Without any further ado, let's spin the wheel and see what poisonous film we are going to be watching. Well, hold on. Somebody fucked up my wheel. These damn kids fucking up my wheel.
Meddling kids. They'd have got away with it, too.
They would have. If it wasn't for my keen eye. And that little dog, too. Okay, here we go. Fix the wheel. All right, ready. 3, 2, 1, spin. We are watching. Very exciting news. We are watching Borat, actually, which was not. No, I'm just kidding. We are watching.
Very nice.
Very nice. We are watching Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Interesting.
That is going to be a solid flick.
The continuation of the Harry Potter saga. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. It's a much needed continuation.
All right. Well, folks, we appreciate you sticking with us through many, many episodes. We have much, much love for you. We thank you and love you for your support of Know Your Cinema Podcast. Please come back next week for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and also the bonus episode Thursday of Guardians of the Galaxy. As always, we like to leave you with our favorite sayings. Mine comes from my best friend, a huge Detroit Tigers fan. Absolutely despise the Minnesota Twins, and probably get tired of hearing me say it every week, how I have to explain it. But he would always look over at me when Minnesota was losing, and he would say, "All is right in the world today." I knew exactly what he meant. And for you folks, all is right in the world today.
Always like to end with my favorite movie quote of all time, which is, "Never take life too seriously, because you'll never make it out alive."
All right, folks, we will see you next week for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. So long.